The Biden Justice Department is out with a new rule that limits its ability to access journalists' communication data. That comes after news that the same department under former President Trump secretly obtained phone and email records of journalists from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN. Those efforts were all related to leak investigations, but the news outraged many First Amendment advocates who said the government was interfering with journalists' ability to do their jobs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the government should be going after people who leak confidential information, especially when it comes to national security? What do you think of the government using journalists' phone and email data to do it to see who they were in contact with? Where do you see the balancing act between national security secrets and the public's right to know? Or should journalist data pretty much always be off limits? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Margot Suska is assistant professor of journalism at American University. She's also an assessor with Poynter's International Fact Check Network. Margot, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me back.
I know this is a long-running issue. I want to start for now, though we can go back a little further, with what's been controversial about what we found out about the Justice Department under the Trump administration and what they were looking for when it came to journalist data. What do we know?
Yeah, I think it's important to start this conversation so that your listeners know there is no federal reporter's privilege. So there's no law on the books at the federal level that allows reporters to protect their sources, including their sources who may give them confidential information. So there are laws protecting whistleblowers, but that's not really a press freedom issue. And what we saw earlier this month, three Democratic congressmen introduced legislation, which looks like it's meant to be a kind of federal reporter's privilege. And it was done specifically in response to what we've been learning more and more about in the last couple of months, which was really an overreach by the Trump Justice Department against three news organizations, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and CNN. So they sought to get access not just to work email logs and phone logs by reporters at those three news organizations, but also went after some personal information as well. And the Trump Justice Department claimed it was using its authority and power to seize this information, which may have been classified. And it really seemed like a means to an end for Trump officials to close off any leaks that may have been coming from their internal ranks. And I want to say at CNN, they wanted to go after some 30,000 emails. I mean, this isn't just looking for a couple of things. This was a real huge net that they were casting. News organizations were put under a gag order, and this was really went on over the course of months, including right up into the final days of the Trump administration. And I have to say, as a watcher, I'm a little bit surprised that these news organizations didn't air it in the open, under the threat of these gag orders. And I think that's the difference between 2021 and 1971. In terms of what the news media thinks it might receive in terms of public support of that kind of that kind of issue.
Now we have the Biden administration saying, okay, we're going to put some limits on this. What changes have they announced?
Yeah, so what we saw is that after this all came out in June, the Biden administration said it would make some changes. So Attorney General Merrick Garland this week published the memo that was kind of, promising it was going to put it into writing. So in that memo, the first line of the Garland memo says, "A free and independent press is vital to the functioning of our democracy." What a breath of fresh air that is compared to what we've seen about the way the press has been discussed and handled, not just in terms of the subpoenas and the leaks and these secretive issues, but in terms of the overt rhetoric that's come out of Washington for the last 5 years about the press. A big issue here is that the Biden Justice Department will limit when federal authorities can seek out reporters' email or phone or communication records. And this is an important distinction. I think it's really important. Any reporter who could face a subpoena, we're not saying subpoenas are not, never going to come out here, but any reporter who could face a subpoena must be the target of an investigation outside their journalistic work. big difference, big shift from the Trump administration that was specifically targeting reporters because of their work. So I think that's a big change that's coming between these two Justice Departments.
Going back a little further, I know under the Obama administration, there was concern from journalism organizations about his aggressive pursuit of leaks, sometimes putting pressure on journalists. Can you talk about what we saw under the Obama administration?
Yeah, and I think it's a really important point. And I want to make clear that every presidential administration is worried about leaks. Every presidential administration has some kind of tension with the press. I mean, even going back to Teddy Roosevelt, who coined the term muckraker, I mean, that was not a cozy relationship in the early part of the 20th century. So Daniel Ellsberg leaking the Pentagon Papers during the Vietnam War, you know, these are historically in American history, there is tension between the press and there is tension between the press and any administration. So I want to be very clear that it's not as if the Trump Justice Department was the first one to try to limit reporters' access to information. It wasn't the first administration that went after leaks. And the Obama administration, investigative reporter James Risen referred to him in 2015 as one of the greatest threats to press freedom in a generation for the way that he used an obscure 1917, obscure in terms of how it was used against the press, the Espionage Act, to go after folks who leaked classified information to the news media. So this is something, this is an ongoing tension. And you'll often hear about the balancing act, the public's right to know, the press's right to seek out information, and the government's right to keep specifically national security issues secret. This is a constant tension. And generally, I think it's important to note this too, reporters aren't just taking any information they get from classified sources and putting it online or putting it in press, in print. You know, this is something that reporters are actively trying to seek out information that holds governments accountable for mistakes, or outright lies that they may have told.
Talking to Margot Suska, journalism professor at American University, looking at national security and the press and leaks, a change from the Biden administration now after information came out about the Trump administration's pursuit of a lot of data about journalists' communication efforts. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. Let's go to your calls now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So it's kind of interesting that the guest
You're cutting in and out, Michael. I'm sorry. Not sure where you're getting to. Let's try Nick in Green Bay and see if we have a good connection. Nick, hi.
Hi. I love your show. Love you. You're awesome.
Thanks.
I just want to start this out with one quick phrase I saw. I love my country, fear my government. You know, if you got nothing to hide, you should have no problems. But I think that all politicians, I'm a Republican, but I think all politicians are just criminals. I mean, there's no honest one in the bunch. So I appreciate what the reporters do. I think Snowden, he got shafted pretty good. He should be able to come back to the country. I think he got just a big shaft out there. I mean, like I said, if you got nothing to hide, then what's the big deal? But I just don't trust my government at all. I hate to say that because, like I said, I love my country, but I feel bad for the reporters because, again, they're just these people are just going after them.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Nick gives us a lot to work with there, Margot. First of all, he says if you got nothing to hide, nothing to worry about. But in some cases, governments have stuff they very specifically want to hide, especially when it comes to national security. Where do we draw that line?
Well, I think it's a good point. And I think that in terms of what we're learning now about the Trump Justice Department going after the Washington Post reporters' records, they were specifically seeking out information as it related to Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. So I think what we've seen here is that sometimes politicians try to obscure or try to put facts behind this shield of national security when in fact it may not be national security at all. And I think that's a real concern. But something Daniel Ellsberg, of course, who the former RAND employee who leaked the Pentagon Papers, is famous for saying of politicians, something your caller said made me think of this, but of politicians, Daniel Ellsberg said, not everything they say is a lie, but anything they say could be a lie. And remember that the press's job is to be a watchdog, is to look out for regular people, people, taxpaying people who, you know, are just living their lives, and, you know, to make sure that these politicians are being held accountable. And that is the role of the press at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level.
And Nick also mentioned Edward Snowden, which we've had full conversations about on the show, just devoted to his story. Your thoughts on Edward Snowden and what he put out there that ultimately made its way into the press?
Well, I mean, again, I think that this is it's so fascinating to me that technology, what role technology is going to play as we move forward in these conversations about surveillance of the press, as well as what the press may be able to get access to through technology. I mean, I mentioned Daniel Ellsberg, who's actually, you know, one of my heroes, who was photocopying reports and, you know, in the middle of the night. And now, because of technology, reporters can get access to information in ways they couldn't, you know, even 5, 10, 30, 40 years ago. But at the same time, they're facing great surveillance from, you know, those in power who want to make sure that reporters maybe aren't getting access to that information. So I think Snowden, it's so interesting to me how we view the Pentagon Papers in the early 1970s compared to Snowden, compared to Reality Winner and what she leaked to The Intercept a few years ago. It's just a really fascinating way to think about how we view the government power, how we view press power, and how we view access to information. I mean, these are fascinating conversations. We could talk for hours about these things.
Thanks again for that call, Nick. We're talking to Margot Suska, assistant professor of journalism at American University. She's with us today to talk about when the government can and can't get access to journalists' communication data and how that fits into leak investigations. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of protections do you want to see for journalists when it comes to these kind of leak investigations from the federal government? What do you think of the use of secret subpoenas, gag orders that limits who could even know that the government is investigating these things in the first place? And what questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about the rules around when the government can access journalists' communication data. Margot Suska stays with us from American University. You can join in with your thoughts and your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I think we've got a better connection now with Michael in Appleton. Michael, hello again.
Hi. Hi, Rob. Thanks for picking me back up. Hopefully I have a better connection.
Loud and clear.
Perfect. What I was saying is, it's kind of interesting. I'm a history major, specifically American history. So the guest mentioned the Espionage Act. If you look back through history, the Sedition Act as well, if you look back through history, there's sort of the cyclical kind of First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, nature to it, where it kind of ebbs and flows, and maybe a president or the Supreme Court changes the interpretation or tries to pass a new law, or just plain oversteps their authority, like the Trump administration has done. It's really good to see these protections being put in place for journalists. I think it speaks to a hopefully healthier time for our democracy.
Michael, thanks a lot for that call. Margot, what do you think about that ebb and flow Michael was talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think he mentions the Alien and Sedition Acts in the late 18th century. So, you know, we like to think of, you know, free press and free speech as being, you know, these dominant issues that we have, and they are. But from very early on in American history, there were limits, certainly, on what you could say, especially what political minority groups could say against the majority. So I appreciate that, you know, that your caller mentioned that. And I do think that what the Trump Justice Department did, let's also remember that, you know, and I want to be very clear about this, whether or not you're looking at the limitations on press freedom from the Obama administration or the Trump administration, to choose two modern administrations, I think what Trump was also doing, it was this two-pronged approach, a very public anti-press campaign, very strong rhetoric, using social media, using a new right-wing media to attack the press, and that has been very effective. And I think that we're just now seeing, with issues of, you know, the politicization, can't say that word, excuse me, of issues like public health, we're starting to see, I think, now the real effect of what that anti-press rhetoric, really what it was doing. And I think it's really troubling. And, you know, to see how that's going to swing back around in terms of ebb and flow, I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe this new Biden Justice Department rule will help swing back in favor of press freedom and respect for a free press. But I think it's going to take a long time.
Thanks for the call, Michael. What one administration, Margo, does, another one can, in most cases, undo. You mentioned earlier at least a few members of Congress looking to put some of these things in law, some of these guidelines, you know, not counting on the White House, but actually putting them in the law. Is that something you think needs to happen?
I think that we need to have a federal protection for reporters. And I think that what we're learning about the last couple of years, going back to 2017, shows us that we need greater protection for reporters, for their sources. I think it does need to be codified in the law. But you bring up a good point. This Merrick Garland memo can be undone by the next administration. And I think that, you know, politicizing press freedom is a danger to the average American. And that's what troubles me, is that we're seeing press freedom as an issue of polarization. Press freedom should be seen as the most nonpartisan issue that we have. And that's what concerns me. If we need these protections in law in order to see press freedom as a Republican, Democratic, and independent Green Party issue, then if that helps us get there, then I say let's do it. But we have to stop seeing press freedom as a political issue, because it is not.
Talking to Margo Suska, assistant professor of journalism at American University, about government surveillance of reporters and their communication records. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Margo, are you worried that if public opinion turns against these kinds of protections for reporters, it could ultimately hurt transparency, hurt our right to know what's going on in our government?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the concern, is that, you know, with such disdain for the mainstream press at a time when there are also newspaper closures because of new ownership structures by hedge funds and private equity. I'm writing a book about that. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, a huge concern, not only in the public's, you know, disdain for the press, but in a lot of closures of local newspapers and real watchdogs at the local and state level. That's my area of expertise, is really the local and the state level. It seems to me that we may be coming toward a perfect storm of just, you know, of a misunderstanding of what the press's role in society is meant to do, and really that we may have people elected to local and state office who may, you know, may not be held accountable for their actions. So a misunderstanding of what the press's role in society is meant to do.
We're talking to Margo Suska from American University. Just had a little connection glitch there. And we're looking at press freedom and rights and the federal government's ability to surveil their communication records, some changes from administration to administration. Margo, sorry we lost you there for just a moment. Have you back now, I think. What are you hoping to see? Do you think we need to see more, first of all, from the Department of Justice to clarify what they can and can't do and what they will and won't do?
Listen, I want to be very clear. I'm thrilled to see Merrick Garland's memo, which seems like a celebration of the press's role in democracy. I am not so naive to think that any administration is not worried about an interrogation of its policies and its leakers. So I want to be, I am not a person that thinks we need more government intervention. What we need is, I think, you know, to start and go back to looking at understanding the importance of civics in the classroom and understanding the importance of a free press in society and what it is that a press does. And looking at the role of newspapers in the growing nonprofit ecosystem and how they're holding leaders accountable, not just considering media as, you know, the big cable news network. So I think in that regard, I'm thrilled to see Garland's memo, and but at the same time, I don't want to see more from the government, because the press is meant to be independent of the government. This is a core tenet, ethical tenet of journalism, and so I'm thrilled to see it, but I think we need to reestablish some trust with communities. I think that's up to news organizations, and it's up to, I think, a greater understanding of the role of journalism in society, which it maybe has to start, you know, in the elementary school classroom.
Margo, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, Rob. Thanks so much.
That's Margo Suska, Assistant Professor of Journalism at American University. She's with us today to talk about how the government has gone after leakers using journalists' phone and email data. A new rule from the Biden Department of Justice aims to stop that practice. And as she mentioned, she's working on a new book about hedge funds and the journalism industry. We'll probably talk to her about that when the book comes out. I believe that's next year.